we go. 1106, write to us. Online Trading Academy, text line 98973. I'm just stalling because I suddenly had trouble untying the horses. Oh, here comes the wagon now. Hey, yesterday a listener wrote in and said, hey, why is the wagon, everybody in the wagon always mad and angry? It is true. I noticed that. I guess if you had to bump around on that hard wooden plank for an hour and a half or 2 hours, you'd be pretty upset, too.
Well, let alone what they're carrying.
A teeny tiny lady in a pickle jar. But it's nice to see that, Leo Viscelli has come back from the dead, Tom, to be in the wagon.
There aren't any accidents. Yes. Each of you has something to do on the face of this globe, and each of you has something to say.
Hello!
Get in touch with it and do it!
Right!
And then you'll know what life is all about.
Understand?
And we need to tell children early that this is so.
This is so what?
that they're not an accident.
Oh, that this is so.
Ghostly.
I thought I had a bigger finish.
Yeah, that's all right. Where are the symbols when you need them?
My mother loved Leo Viscelli. And
really,
had his books all around the house, and we were sitting there listening to him all the time. I can hear you a lot better when you take off your sunglasses. That's a Leo Viscelli.
He was huge a few decades ago.
He really was. I love leaves. I love when they fall off the tree. I put them in the center of my room. I have them in my living room, and I dive into them, into a pile of leaves. And I'm so sweaty, they're stuck to me. There's some inside jokes there on Leo Viscelli.
Yeah, that's right.
I got 10 minutes on Leo Viscelli I can do.
He's rolling over in his grave. His family's chuckling, though, I'm sure.
Now I'm going to talk about Jonathan Livingston Seagull for 20 minutes. All right, let's see. Seattle police use low levels of force. For some reason, they seem to end up having force against people that are minority, people that are black. The racial disparity remains. This from the Seattle Times. I guess they're looking at how they've done since the consent decree, and they looked at use of force.
Now, this is the reason I was defending the Seattle Times. They are reporting on a report. We have to, every 6 months or so, we have to give the latest update. It's all part of the DOJ settlement. We have to give an update to the judge, and so this is just reporting on what the latest numbers show. And it's really low levels of force. That, I think, is the good sign. We should really, the use of force by officers, extraordinarily low. They think the de-escalation program has sunk in quite successfully, and they're very happy with that. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is a little wrinkle is there is racial disparity. In fact, the racial disparity in these low-level contacts, you know, has increased according to the last report. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, that's basically what the report says.
Okay. But they don't know why that is.
That's
right.
They
don't know if it's race. They don't know if it's economics, social, culture. They don't know why, but it seems like when they're responding to a crime, they're primarily responding to a crime that's been committed against a black person by a black person. So we can't.
No, that's not what it says. That's what you're saying.
That's the disproportion.
Black males represented 32% of the cases, up from 25%. So that's up 7%. And black females surged up to 22% from 5%. They make up 7% of the population. But you are absolutely right. This report does not say, therefore, there's racism at work.
Right.
What they're saying is we can
identify. But you don't need to say that. Just say racial disparity, and people will fill in the blank, Tom.
I know, but then if you look at the report literally says, in other words, while numbers can identify a disparity, they cannot explain the disparity.
Right.
So, in other words, this isn't a doesn't clear the police, but it also doesn't condemn the police. It just says we've just noticed this pattern, and we have not figured out a good way to determine what is the cause of that.
You want to click on it. You want to put the word race in the headline so people click on it, and then they bury it down. I don't know what paragraph that's in, but basically saying we don't know why that is. We can't tell. The study says they can't tell you why they pull over more or why black people are ending up talking to police more often. I saw an interesting piece of response to it. This one guy who must know what he's talking about, I guess, he says SPD back in 2010 had 1,230 use of force incidents. Okay. But back in 2010, if you were in the backseat of a cop car and you complained about your handcuffs being tight, that was not considered a use of force. So you didn't have to write that up. Also, if a cop pulled out a gun and pointed at you to get you to cooperate or to drop whatever you have in your hand, that was not considered a use of force. So back in 2010, they had 1,230 use of force. So that must have meant, you know, aggressively bringing the person to the ground, putting them in a chokehold, all of those things. So if you were to look at the numbers now and you remove and use the same standard they used back in 2010, use of force incidents, 372. That's it.
So what's 372 back then?
No, it'd be 372 now if you use the exact same standard, which means handcuffs. Because friends of mine that are police officers
tell me. So that's good.
It's excellent.
Which is
so it's a drop of 75%.
Yes, extraordinarily low levels.
Right. That
force.
Should be the headline on that one.
It is.
It
Report,
is not the headline.
Seattle police use low levels of force.
Keep going.
But racial disparity
there
remains.
There you go.
Those are the two main points.
Clickety-click-click. Well, actually, the number of blacks that are committing more crimes apparently is going up.
We don't know that. No, that's not reported.
That's not on there?
No. That's not what this is about. This is not a crime statistics sheet from the Seattle Police Department.
Well, of use of force against 22 to 35%, is that what the numbers were for?
It was 25% of the people who police used force against was 25% for black males, and then it went up to 32%. But that's just, I mean, that can be, you know, an anomalous blip because it's just over the last, I think, 6 months or something. But still.
The thing I'd still like to see it would be somebody to figure out the numbers when it comes to depolicing, because that's what people on the conservative side say.
I know.
That you, as a police officer, are less likely to respond to an on view. There's two different calls you get. One is called a dispatched call. You know, Unit 41, respond to, man screaming in an alley. Okay, you're dispatched to it. An on view is you're driving down the street and you see something looks a little shady and you pull over. I would say most guys, if I were a cop, I would not pull over. So that is the depolicing that comes with it.
That's why it's good you're not a cop.
That's right. Would you pull over? You see something mysterious?
Suspicious? I'm a rule follower, and I think if that was in my job description, I think I probably would.
Two black guys standing there in the corner, and you see something suspicious, you pull over and you stop.
Oh, no, then I would run away. If I'm a cop, yes.
No. Okay, and then they say to you, why are you hassling us? Is it because we're black?
Okay, well, the thing is, John, first off, I would do whatever the training is. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to act like I'm a hero or that I'm somehow more racially sensitive than anybody else or less racially sensitive. I would just do what I'm instructed to do.
Right.
Now, I know that there are people, and once you get comfortable in a job, you may feel like, well, I know how to skirt, you know, this way and that. But still, I'd probably be more of a rule
follower.
Here's what
I saw happen when I went out one day. They go up to this guy. He's selling merchandise on the side of the street on 2nd Avenue. He's up there near Pike Place Market, okay?
Yeah.
And they go up there, and they say, hey, you can't have this stuff out here. We warned you a couple of times. We told you about this. And the guy says, are you hassling? You're hassling because I'm black.
Okay. Right?
Then, at that point, the officer pulls out a piece of paper, because he's on camera, and says, sir, are you saying to me that I have stopped, officer, he says his name, because I have stopped you because of the color of your skin, thus violating the Civil Rights Act 1964, blah, blah, blah. Or is this what you're saying? Or would you like to lodge a formal complaint that you're being stopped because of the color of your skin? And the guy goes, yeah, I do. All right, sir. So you understand. Then he reads the next, flips it over, reads the next thing. And then you know what happens?
De-escalation.
You know what happens next? The cop goes down, goes off the street, goes and fills out a report.
Yeah.
Right. So now let me ask you this. If you're driving down the street and you see two guys, would you stop and talk to them? Or would you keep right on going because you don't want somebody to go, you're stopping us because we're black. And then you have to fill out, you go off the street, and now you have this indicator that you have to go and talk to somebody about, why did you stop them? Did you stop them because you're violating their civil rights?
John, it's not that hard. You would just go talk to your supervisor and say, okay, do you realize this is what's happening? If you want me to be this perfect in my paperwork, I'm doing less work on the streets.
Yeah.
Is there? And you might get an indication from your boss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, I just keep going. That's fine.
That's called depolicing. Let's see. A state.
Yeah, but the question is, how often does it happen?
You know, that's what it. What you'd want to find out is, how many on-view calls were done, say, in 2010, and where are we now with on-view? Not the ones where they're calling. Look at the on-view. And by the way, on-view, what you have to eliminate from that number is a police for parking and speeding. You get those numbers out because those are on-views. Take that number out and then look and see, wow, look how many on-view stops we had in 2018, 17, 16, 15. Go all the way back and find out if there has been a significant change.
Yes, and also, though, you also must look at the level of crime. If by not hassling those two black men who you do not know if they're doing something criminal or not, does that lead to outrageous crime rates through the roof, or if it doesn't really matter, ultimately, if you've de-escalated enough situations where you're not shooting and killing or maiming people, then maybe you'd say that is a societal trade-off that might be worth it. That's what we'd have to see. We'll have to see, for instance, with these low levels of force, is crime more rampant because there's a lower level of use of force, or it's because of the efficacy of these de-escalation devices.
That would be interesting to look at. Let's see. Stacey Adams gives the response to the State of the Union. She did a good job. Started out with a story about herself, and it was compelling about her father and her mom and the jacket and everything else. And then she goes after Trump and the shutdown.
A few weeks ago, I joined volunteers to distribute meals to furloughed federal workers. They waited in line for a box of food and a sliver of hope since they hadn't received paychecks in weeks. Making livelihoods of our federal workers a pawn for political games is a disgrace. The shutdown was a stunt engineered by the President of the United States, one that defied every tenet of fairness and abandoned not just our people, but our values.
Okay, two more cuts from her. Voter suppression, talking about that, or you want to talk about taxing, criticizing
voter
the GOP?
Voter suppression, tax? I think, relates more specifically to her own case in Georgia, so I'd do the other.
Here's the other one.
People are striving for a middle class where a salary truly equals economic security. But instead, families' hopes are being crushed by Republican leadership that ignores real life or just doesn't understand it. Under the current administration, far too many hardworking Americans are falling behind, living paycheck to paycheck, most without labor unions to protect them from even worse harm. The Republican tax bill rigged the system against working people. Rather than bringing back jobs, plants are closing, layoffs are looming, and wages struggle to keep pace with the actual cost of living. We owe more to the millions of everyday folks who keep our economy running.
Mm. Okay. Overall, she's getting good reviews because she didn't drop the ball.
Yeah.
They say, yeah, there wasn't a kind of Mark Rubio moment or a Kennedy
Bobby
moment.
Jindal
and Bobby Jindal and all this, and I think that's true. I personally, and again, this is somebody who's rooting for her. I hear great things about her. She's seen as a possible rising star. I personally thought there was too much content in her 10-minute speech.
Mm.
I think if she just eased into it and created a more positive impression, I think she was scoring a lot of points, and I think that in a debate it would have worked. But I felt that we were in too deep too quickly to be as effective as it might have been.
She's counterpunching on what the president said,
I know,
as opposed to rising above it and talking about, hey, follow us. We'll give you free health care. We'll give you free college. We'll give you all this stuff.
But also, I think she made more points than he did. He had an hour 22.
Oh, listen,
she had 10 minutes.
Better speech, better delivery on the speech.
Okay. And you can just ask Joshua Trump what he thinks.
Okay. You want to really?
Well, that's the list.
He was tired.
Yeah, no, I know. The thing is, when I first saw, so Joshua Trump, we made a lot to do. We don't have any sound for him.
No, no. Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, do you? Okay, let's. I'd recognize that anywhere. That happens to you during the show sometimes. Whenever I'm talking. Poor Joshua Trump, the kid who had been bullied in school for having this awful last name up in Delaware, I think he is. He fell asleep during the speech. And the thing is, he became this media sensation. They thought it was so cute. I said, oh, yeah, you know, he probably that's a long time. I mean, first of all, it's a long speech, but a long time. He probably was really tired. And I was thinking it's like second grade. He's a sixth grader,
right.
And he's sitting next to a 10-year-old, somebody who's younger than he is, a 10-year-old cancer victim, and she was bright and perky and all. And it's kind of a bad look. I think his parents are probably embarrassed, but he did capture the hearts of many on social media.
Ah, that's good. Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, I know exactly how you feel. I mean, she fell asleep. Let's see.
Now that gets the juicy stuff. Virginia, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
Oh, my God. So the governor, Friday or Saturday, I started to see stuff come down explaining that the governor, someone had found his medical school yearbook that had like 44 people attended this medical school. And on your page, there was pictures of a guy dressed in blackface and then a guy in a KKK hood. Fred Ridley, the governor, said, I don't know which one was me, which isn't a good answer. And then later on, oh, I don't think either one of those was me. Some websites have been able to find, hey, you wore the same pants in this shot and this shot, so they pretty sure it's him. He fumbled the ball when it came to the press conference. He has not done well. Now, who's underneath him is the lieutenant governor,
and
a guy named
black.
Fairfax.
Perfectly. You couldn't stage it better.
But it turns out in 2005, he either did or did not have consensual sex with a woman. And now she's bringing charges against him. So
no, I don't know if they're charges.
Well,
she's accused him.
Accused him.
Yeah,
of
I don't know if there are any criminal charges at this.
I'm just using sort of the sort of Shakespearean term.
Yeah.
Not the cops charging.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so he's sidelined with that, and people have found him saying terrible things about her, and we'll see where that goes. Now it's going to be he said, she said, 2005, but there was no witnesses in the room.
Right.
Or, okay, but all women are to be believed. So now he's sidelined.
Well,
so
nice
who's the next in line? Who's the next in line?
Next in line is our attorney general. Another really popular. The weird thing is, all three of these politicians are very popular in the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
It seems very effective. So, Attorney General Herring can ride to the rescue if both of them end up stepping aside.
Yes.
And then, son of a gun, and keep in mind, this is 2 days after the Attorney General Herring said, well, a governor with that in his past, he certainly can't serve as governor.
Uh-huh.
Then he comes out and admits, oh, yeah. Oh, there was that one time I was a 19-year-old freshman in 1980, and a bunch of friends of mine decided we'd go as our favorite black rappers, and so I did put a little brown polish on, and we sang a song, and I am absolutely mortified. I can't believe that I was that culturally insensitive, but that's the way I guess I was as a 19-year-old. I figured this would eventually blow up in my face, and now it has.
So he came forward with it, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, good.
Because they said he came out and says, well, yeah, that governor, I'm afraid he's going to have to step aside. They said he kind of went, you know, below, you know, underground for 2 days. I hadn't heard anything from him. And then he said, okay, what are we going to do, guys? We better fess up and get this out of the way.
Senator Mark Warner, what's he say?
Listen, I'm shocked and incredibly disappointed. This has been an awful week for Virginia.
At this point, I'd like to mention that I, too, dressed up in
yeah.
blackface.
But I'm just getting the original report.
What about
black shoe polish flying off the shelves back in the 80s in Virginia?
I'd like to get.
Should he
resign? I haven't even read statements
yet. Governor Northam should have resigned for wearing blackface in the other picture. Should Harry resign for this one?
Thanks, guys.
Nice guys, Governor. The Senator doesn't want to answer that question.
So,
if he's forced to resign, then I would like
governor?
To see Jimmy Kimmel resign. I want to see Jimmy Fallon resign.
Wow.
I'd like to see anybody who's ever worn blackface have to resign.
Well, the thing is, in entertainment, you don't have to resign because it's not an elected position. But every single politician,
you should certainly be chastised.
Well,
and social media, you should lose your job.
Okay. But the idea
you should lose
right
your
now
job.
Is, if this is happening in Virginia, can you imagine, first off, right now the Republicans are being very mum about it because they're smart. They're letting the Democrats sort of, you know, chew themselves up. But my hunch is if this happened in Democratic circles, it probably also happened in Republican circles in Virginia.
Yeah. Sure.
That it's going. So all the people that are going to try to take advantage of this need to check their yearbooks as well and their past. And if it happened in Virginia, which is seen as the most northern of the southern states, I can imagine
is wearing blackface a reason for you to lose your job?
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel should lose his job.
No, I'm not, John.
I'm not talking about elected officials. I'm just going bigger. If you wear blackface and you're a public person, should you lose your job?
I don't know. No.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't make a blanket statement. We'd have to see the context of it.
Context of it. I did it because I was trying to make a joke, or I did it because I went to a costume party. Is there any reason for it? Apparently, there's no context. You can never wear blackface.
If you are Whoopi Goldberg's girlfriend, I think it's okay.
Boyfriend.
Yeah, okay.
That
Ted
didn't
Danson.
Go over so well.
It did not, but
the only
Whoopi
cover he had is the fact that he was dating Whoopi.
Exactly. Who gave him permission to
she
do
gave
it.
Him cover
so
on it.
The question is that.
Who gave
but
Jimmy
right
Kimmel
now,
cover to dress up as Moses Malone and do an imitation of Moses Malone?
Who knew that he did that? When did he do that?
I've only 1 million people that watched him on YouTube. Tom, this.
When?
How about,
when?
He did a story in back in the 30s. No, Tom, like about 15 years ago when he did the man show.
That's good.
How about Jimmy Fallon when he did his not too long ago, dressed up as
I think that this
Chris
is
Rock.
Exactly the kind of conversations all,
let's
that
be
we
consistent.
Like to have.
It should be consistent. Lose your jobs.
Well, no, I mean, the governor of Virginia hasn't even lost his job.
He will.
That's what we thought. But now that it looks like
let's
everybody in Virginia has done this, maybe he deserves to be the governor
of
Virginia.
They won't be able to find anybody. They're going to have to...
No, he represents the people of Virginia. They're all black-faced racists, maybe.
Online Trading Academy text line. Thanks, Ursula. Online Trading Academy text line 98973. It's always fun to be able to do the show and look over occasionally and see Jacob's bearded face. And by the way, when did you grow that beard?
Over the last few months.
Okay. I see him smiling, Tom, because that means letters are coming in, emails are coming in, text messages coming in from you, and you're making Jacob laugh. So we look forward to hearing from you in just a little bit. That's the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Go to a baseball game. You sit right behind home plate in the Diamond Club there at the Safe, or now T-Mobile.
That's right.
And they have a net in front of it for obvious reasons. But if you move along the third baseline or the first baseline, you're pretty much – you're a sitting duck.
Or higher up.
True that. Yeah.
If you're right behind home plate, but you're on the up back seats, at least in Dodger Stadium, you are unprotected.
It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, like for instance, here is this Minnesota? Let's see.
The Dodgers.
No, this is Frazier. Hits a 100-mile-an-hour foul ball.
They're good. Look out. Oh, my goodness.
At this point, they show Frazier now. He's taking his helmet off. He's kneeling down, looking in that general direction. And the camera shows that they're staying back.
That is scary. It was absolutely laced.
And now you see the second base. People are not looking. The players have got their heads down. They don't want to look into the stands because apparently it's pretty awful. Hit a kid directly in the head at 100 miles an hour. They go to get medical attention for him. So this, I don't know. I'm going to look to find out what happened to this kid.
In 1970, 14-year-old Alan Fish at Dodger Stadium died. He was hit by a foul ball.
Yeah, so that's probably him. Oh, so it happens again in this case. It's a woman who's celebrating her like 57th wedding anniversary. She's celebrating her birthday as well, and she's at Dodger Stadium. And the weird thing is, this happened in August, and no one has known about it.
No.
Direct shot. Nobody could catch it. Nobody could, it was a direct shot.
A shot from a foul ball last August 25th, Dodger Stadium. The ball hit Linda Goldblum, a mother of three, grandmother of seven, directly in the head. 3 days later, she died.
The trajectory of the ball was hit like a bullet from a gun. Psh.
It's in on it, strike one.
Top of the ninth, Dodgers and Padres. The camera never followed the ball into the stands, and the announcers never made any mention of it, even though by now Mrs. Goldblum had been hit. Loge, section 106, row C, seat 5. It was her 79th birthday, her 59th wedding anniversary.
She was not knocked out. They asked her, are you okay? She said, of course I'm not okay.
Miss Brody said her mother was in place in an ambulance. When she vomited, they placed a breathing tube down her throat, and then she went into a coma. That night, she had brain surgery, but could never recover. 3 days later, she died, having never regained consciousness.
The Dodger brass never publicly said anything about this story, and neither did the family.
We didn't contact anybody because we were in mourning.
And then after the mourning period, she said that she was very curious, wanted to know how often does something like this happen. So she did some research. Found out that it had happened twice. And then she contacted ESPN. And after a two-month investigation, they broke the story Monday night.
Are you angry at the Dodgers or anything in particular?
I was during the playoffs because it was so fresh and it was all in our faces. Go Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's indefensible. Major League Baseball and the Dodgers, how they treated this. And they get away with it by saying on the back of your ticket, says, in effect, buyer beware. They say it's the tiniest, tiniest, tiny print.
Right.
And it's been that way since 1913. The fact that this was not only not publicized, but not even mentioned. And they say, we do that out of respect for the privacy of individuals. If somebody, gets hurt at Dodger Stadium, they never go to the press. They never talk about it because they claim it's for the safety of their customers. I think that's BS. When somebody dies, I think they should have come out. Now, the family decided to go to the press after all these months when they contacted ESPN because the ESPN report said there have only been two people in the history of the Major League Baseball who's ever died. And they said, wait a minute, what about my mom? Mm-hmm. That's what spurred them on. But I think right now the argument is, should you put up more netting or not? There's been resistance, but Major League Baseball has extended it this past season. I guess they've extended it up to what is like the third baseline or something that. So they have extended it, but there is still some resistance from some of the teams. New York Yankees were one of those teams until a toddler got hit by a foul ball, and they said, okay, we'll do it. It's like you have to wait till somebody dies before they take a you know, take advantage of that.
Well, so in 2015, the Major League Baseball had 1,750 injuries caused by foul ball and broken bat.
Wow.
Cincinnati Reds have decided to put in place the net, and when people are asked about it, they said, you know, after a while, you don't even notice it. It's sort of a very, very thin netting. It's almost transparent.
Yes.
You don't see through it. So, listen, if you're sitting there, can you imagine? In the netting, like, for instance, when it comes to the Indianapolis 500, we've seen occasionally, that's another thing they deal with.
Yeah.
A car breaks apart and a wheel flies up and hits somebody. That's part of the thing of being right down front. But they have to admit liability or the possibility of liability, so they put the nets up in place. I sit down front like that. I watch those. Thing's coming off that ball, that bat at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have a chance to avoid it. Now, you're saying, I'm sure the objection is, wait a minute, the odds are absolutely minuscule
It's still the odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for that woman. The is Major League Baseball, could a team, when you call a game when half the participants are not trying to win?
Yeah. And the answer is Major League Baseball.
Oh, they thought that was Republicans in the state of Washington.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
Well, we want to change this dynamic with MLB. What they noticed is that half the league is doing exactly what the Mariners are doing next year, which is not trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to shore up their, you know, forces, save their money, and you know, kind of create this big new structure, sort of like the way the idea in the NBA, you call it tanking. The idea is that now there's so many teams that aren't even trying to win on the hope that they'll save their money until they get enough money they can get really good players and, you know, sort of build from the ground up. And Houston Astros are a perfect example of a team that did that very thing. Same thing with Chicago Cubs. The question is, if you got half the teams in the Major League Baseball saying, we're going to be bad for a couple of years, but hang on, fans, because in 3 or 4 years, we're going to be at the top of the heap. If you got half the teams already doing that, that means that probably half of those teams are not going to be able
I hit somebody. I was trying to get a stat for you. Go
You're
ahead.
You're not. The idea is that half those teams that are tanking are not going to be able to be good enough, because you can't have half the league all of a sudden being really good, and that could kill baseball. Baseball's already teetering. It used to be America's pastime.
Uh-huh.
Now it's not. It's football. So they say this is a dangerous trend.
I don't know how many people end up following it. They say half the teams would need to be able to rebuild, get rid of their guys, and get new guys in.
Yes. I mean, that's what they're saying. Right now, they listen, half the teams that have no real shot, and clearly they're not trying, because you've got some of the best players in baseball. Nobody's bidding on them because they no, no, we're going to be tanking this year. So, Manny Machado, you got to go find another team.
Hmm.
So, anyway, it puts the popularity of baseball at risk, according to this.
By the way, we got some Washington Mariners Post tickets we're going to give away on Friday.
Perfect.
All right, fast break. Come back. Still a chance to write. Do we have a letter of the day?
We do.
Ah!
But it's a special one. You have to read it, John.
Oh, okay, good. Uh-oh.
That is special.
Now we're going to offend people with this?
Why would you?
No, because whenever I have to read it, normally it involves something that's like too sensitive.
Yes, but it's dark, darkly comic, so it's right up your alley.
Okay, good. Be right back. See, Mom and Dad decided they wanted to get out of that house and move to a new community where they've got friends, and they also have some medical attention if they need it. They can always check out Care Partners Senior Living. Thanks so much for sponsoring the Tom and Curly Show. That's Care Partners Senior Living. Hey, here comes the mailman. Oh, surprise. Okay, got the mailman.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Hey, Felix, here comes the mailman.
Oh, wow.
So we start off with the
Hold on!
Hello!
What the heck?
Hey, I'm just like President Trump last night. Did you notice that he jumped ahead of Pelosi, was supposed to introduce him, and he started without her introduction?
Yeah.
Perfect. State of the Union. We hear from a guy named Curly Boy. While watching the State of the Union last night, I could only envision the teeny tiny lady sitting on Pelosi's desk saying,
"I don't have a O."
And I caught Jacob sleeping. Yeah, I figured he must have dialed this up.
I'd be pretty excited to do something to the robot.
How about do something to the computer and play the sound instead, Jacob?
The teeny tiny lady sitting on Pelosi's desk saying,
"We don't have." She doesn't actually ever say but we can do the next one.
Okay. Never mind. 253. Holy crap, guys. Did you see President Trump give the Democrats a chant USA during the State of the Union? He pointed out there are more women in the workplace, more women in Congress than ever before. Everyone in the room was cheering for them regardless of political affiliation or gender. All Americans want women to succeed. The line between them
seemed to melt away just for a moment. Both sides of the aisles cheering together last night, and it was heard around the world, USA, USA, USA.
I think, Mr. 253, you might have listed a little sly irony in that, but still, Eric and Bothell. I, like most liberals, do not favor pure socialism. Instead, most of us see a blend of socialism and capitalism, arrived at by a democratically chosen blend. In addition, socialism isn't about a redistribution of wealth, but instead a more equitable distribution of income.
Equity.
There is a difference between earning income and acquiring wealth. Hmm. Social Security Trust Fund, based on the most recent information, would stand at $2.85 trillion. Had not Congress borrowed every last dime, we need to reinstitute a highly regressive income tax to make the federal budget balance and quit borrowing.
Yep.
I'll bet John knew I would be writing.
That's right. Hey, Eric, read the article about rich people leaving New York and going to Florida. 253, scariest thing from yesterday's State of the Union, the so-called designated survivor was Rick Oops Perry.
Snow, CB in the 253.
Sure.
Gents. Because those high school drivers can't handle the ice, the two-hour delay lets me listen to my favorite radio show. My 35 below Wisconsin relatives laugh.
Mm-hmm. Tunnel backup 206 says Via Doom finally happened, and 253 says legitimate backup? Good Lord.
And Joseph in Bellevue, my takeaway from the 99 tunnel is, why do the emergency exits show stick men running for the exit? Aren't we supposed to remain calm and walk during a catastrophe? Does the state just assume that we'll all run screaming for the exits? Why not show stick man pushing stick woman and stick child aside as he makes selfishly attempts to extend his doomed existence? Mm-hmm. I can still hear Sister Agatha saying, I don't care if your hair is on fire, you gentlemen will walk down this hallway. I can also hear John saying, but sister, we paid for this hair. Sigh. Another recess in detention. Great show, though, gentlemen. Keep up the good work.
If you die early, 206 says, I want to know when I die so I can plan my life choices better. If I'm going to live to 90, I'm going to start saving more for retirement. If I've got five more years to live, I'm going to have more fun in life.
Aha. And Ryan from Redmond, if you knew how long you'd live, how many people would live more recklessly, take unnecessary chances and risks?
And what does that matter? Hitler's paintings, Marcia in Port Orchard, if I were fabulously rich, I'd buy them and burn them in a parking lot.
Wow, there's a solution. A cougar strangling, 360. My dog is searching the house trying to find the cougar sound.
Sorry about that. And Larry in West Seattle, Tom might have been able to strangle the attacking cougar, but after a few minutes of might not have been able to, but after a few minutes of explaining bus schedules, Democratic superiority, Hillary really won the vote. The cougar would flee faster than Curly during a movie review.
Yeah, there are two ways to skin a cougar, I guess. Nice wagon passenger, 253. Oh, teeny tiny. How refreshing this must have been. You do you and dream big. Well, not too big, because after all, you are a teeny tiny lady and you live in a pickle jar. Hey, how big is that pickle jar anyway?
Historians on Hamilton 360 says anti-Hamilton. The concept of equality was a genuine sentiment only to Jefferson and maybe a few secret admirers who picked up the concept from French philosopher Rousseau. The others gave lip service to us, really wanting independence for others, more profitable reasons, unrestricted land and slave acquisition. Thank you. Tax reduction, etc. Wow, there's your historian from 360. Yeah.
It's a Tom Loves Paris section. 206, Tom, I know you love Paris. I'm thinking of going for Bastille Day. What do you think?
And 206.
Oh, I've been there, and it's a lot like 4th of July. Huge fireworks over the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, good. Teeny Tiny, here you go.
And now it is time for the letter of the
letter day. Letter of the day from the teeny tiny lady.
Comes from 253, John, and I'm setting you up.
Okay.
Here's the setup. Hospice comic walks in room.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is John Bath Matt Curley. Going to be your entertainment tonight. Remember, folks, there's just a 2 Jell-O shot minimum. Okay, who's ready to get laughing, huh? That's it. I mean, you might as well give it your best laugh here. Could be your last laugh, right? All right, I'm looking at you, Mabel. You might not be around for my whole set. You know what I mean? Okay, that was written by 253. That's supposed to mean me doing comedy at a hospice.
But it's not Jell-O shots, it's Jell-O.
Bye-bye.
Jell-O.